Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey gang, Jim here. Welcome to a mini episode of Tuesday Night Jaw, which means it'll probably only be 4 hours long instead of the usual 27. You may have noticed from my voice that today's podcast on the wonderful Distraction Pieces Network is going to be subject to me having lost my voice over the last 2 days. Now, most of you will know this, but in case you don't, I am the co-owner, one of the three owners of Progress Wrestling in London. Over the last couple of days, so Sunday and Bank Holiday Monday here in the UK, we had our annual Super Strong Style 16 tournament. We started it last year. It was a great success. We had it again this year. I'm biased. I think it was a great success. Wasn't without its stresses, that's for sure, which is something I'll get to in a little while. But I decided, because we haven't got a full episode this week, I'd do a little Q&A with me sat here. And I'll tell you exactly. Let me set the scene. I'm sat in my bedroom in North Wales. I can see out my window. I can see the mountain that is behind my house and some sheep. I'm dressed. I don't want you to think, because I'm sat on my bed, that this is some kind of weird, pervy kind of lure you into my boudoir kind of thing. I'm up and dressed because I have a gig in a little while. So I thought I'd do this, put it out on a Tuesday evening, hopefully answer a load of your questions. I'm going to do this. I've not vetted these questions first. So, I mean, I might start reading some of them and just ignore them. But I'm going to try and answer as many as I can. Chat for about half hour, 40 minutes, something like that. And then leave you on your merry way. If you did come to Super Strong Style 16, thanks. Thanks a lot. I said this in the ring, and it's genuinely heartfelt. We're three mates who run a wrestling company. We didn't expect it to be a success, and it is a success. And it's only a success because of our fan base. Our fan base are awesome. Let me tell you how awesome our fan base are. Not only did we have problems on Sunday because we don't own a wrestling ring. Like a lot of wrestling companies in this country, we don't actually own a ring. We hire a ring from a very lovely man called Farron, who lives in Peterborough. And we own our own canvas because our fans bought that and it's got their names on it and stuff like that. We own our own turnbuckle pads, little things like that, but we don't own our own ring. We're based in London. We have nowhere to keep it. So we hire a ring in. And it's a great ring. There's a bit of a problem, though, in that Farron's ring van broke down at about 11 o'clock on Sunday morning. 2 miles away. A frustrating 2 miles away from the electric ballroom. It then took forever to get him towed to the venue. And then we obviously had to put the ring up, which meant that we couldn't let people in at our normal 2 o'clock door opening time. We had to let them in at about, I think it was about 10 past three eventually when we let people in. And then it takes ages to let 700 people in to a venue like that and make sure everyone's got the right wristbands and things like that. So the show didn't start until late. We caught up quite a bit of the time through basically me just not banging on as much as I normally do on a Sunday show. So yeah, we're really grateful that people are super patient and super supportive. And then we had a similar thing on Monday when one of the guys who was scheduled to be in the quarterfinals, Mark Haskins, was taken ill after our show on Sunday. He's suffering from severe exhaustion and dehydration. He managed to come backstage for a little bit of the show on Monday, but it obviously meant we had to rejig the tournaments and change our plans And this is something that I've had a few questions about this morning, so I'll try and sort of answer those as I go along. So we've had, it's been stressful as a week. I mean, our shows, I get stressed about our shows anyway, but it was super stressful. I'd had an hour's sleep before Sunday because I had to come back from Norway where I was performing. And our fans were great. Just great. Just super supportive, super nice. Everyone was understanding about the problem with the doors not being open on time and all that sort of stuff. People were brilliant. And we are ridiculously grateful for how great they are. Because, let's be honest, wrestling fan, you're a wrestling fan, you're listening to this. I mean, if you're listening to this and not a wrestling fan, send me a tweet at Jim Smallman with the hashtag Tuesday Night Jaw and the hashtag not a wrestling fan. So I can inquire why on earth you were listening to this. But yeah, it was stressful. And wrestling fans are brilliant. In general, wrestling fans are great. And, you know, whether you came to the show or you didn't, thanks for being a wrestling fan. It's just, it means this podcast keeps going. It means my little wrestling company keeps going. And it means we've all got something to talk about, because I've been a wrestling fan now for 30-odd years, and it's not getting tiring anytime soon. So thank you for that. Also, another thing to illustrate how brilliant Progress fans are, and I know I've asked for all kinds of questions today, because it's just been Super Strong Style 16, I'll probably have a few Progress questions to answer. You know me, I know it's me company and everything, but I don't. This is not a Progress podcast. This is Tuesday Night Jaw. It's about all wrestling. It just happens to be we've had a big event this weekend and WWE hasn't had a pay-per-view. So there may be a lot of Super Strong Style 16 questions. I'm sorry if that bothers you. But I try not to make this about stuff. But people are interested in the inner workings of a wrestling company. So I suppose I'm best equipped to answer this. But on a Progress note, we announced that we're doing a pair of joint shows in Canada, in Toronto in Canada, with the lovely people at Smash Wrestling, who are a great little company. And they invited us over and we agreed to do it, which is brilliant. I can't go, which sucks. But the reason I can't go doesn't suck. It will be the fact that I'll be about 4 weeks into being a new dad. But we've got a joint show with them over in Toronto in September. I forget the exact dates off the top of my head. And yesterday what happened is our fans were coming up to me going, "Oh, I've bought my tickets for Canada." What? You love our little company enough to go and support our little company in Canada? Wow. I mean, I think it's amazing that people, our London fans, come to our Manchester shows, for example. Like our next Manchester show on June the 19th, you know, featuring Chris Hero and loads of other cool stuff. I'm always astonished that people, a good couple of hundred people, come from London for those shows, which is wonderful, as well as all the great fans we've got up in the north now, which is so cool. But for people, and flip side of that, we had a lot of people come from Manchester for the first time for Super Strong Style. Again, we really appreciate it. It's a long way to travel. Speaking of someone who travels all the time, I get how annoying travel is. But for people to go, "Oh yeah, I bought a couple of tickets. Now I've got to just get a flight to Toronto." What? You're insane. It's brilliant, but you're crazy. And it just really brings home how lucky we are as promoters to have fans that are so loyal. So thanks. Just wanted to say that. So I've got my iPad in front of me. I've got my Twitter feed from about 6 hours ago, and I'm just gonna answer some questions. So if you sent a question, brilliant. If you sent a question that I don't answer, it's either I've run out of time or I've answered one similar already, or you sent me a deeply tedious question, and you can do one. Right. So first question, Sam Wilson. Do you make contingency plans for instances such as when Mark Haskins is unable to compete or adapt on the fly? Honestly, Sam, we didn't have a contingency plan in place until, and it was Glenn who came up with the initial contingency plan, because I was asleep, and Glenn was with Mark when he collapsed. So he came up with a contingency plan at about 4 a.m., Monday morning. I woke up, read the contingency plan, loved it. We all then got together with the wrestlers and the wrestlers who were working as agents for us behind the scenes, and we worked out how we were going to do stuff, and we went from there. It was stressful, but we're very lucky that our locker room is a very supportive area where everybody wants to step up and help out. Also, everyone's friends with Mark, myself included. He's not No one who works for us is just an employee. I consider them friends, and I worry when anything bad happens to them. Same way Rob Lynch really hurt his arm during the main event of Sunday's show, Rob Lynch from the London Riots, and I was very worried about him. He's okay. It's not as bad as it first seemed, but he couldn't feel his arm for, you know, 5/6 of that match and carried on. And I worry about the boys all the time and about whether you've got to have a contingency plan. For long-term booking, we always have a contingency plan. So in our head, we know roughly where we're headed going towards Brixton in September and beyond. But so we've got a contingency plan if someone gets hurt or someone gets signed or something like that. We always have a contingency plan kind of bubbling under, but we try and work towards the main goal. We don't expect something to happen like what happened during Super Strong Style, but I think the revised plan worked pretty well. And also, I mean, I think the 10-man match that we had at the start of Monday to decide who went back into the tournament was unbelievably good when you consider that that was, you know, that was put together at 2 hours' notice and featured 10 wrestlers. That's credit to everybody in that match, and you know, I don't want to give too much away, and the two senior professionals in that match who put that match together. So yeah, I mean, they deserve a lot of credit for that. Right, next question from Goody. Other than Eddie Dennis, who else for you was on fire? If you don't get that right, that's a reference to do with Body Guy Roy Johnson, and he made me and Glenn Joseph laugh more than I have ever laughed just by saying the word fire. Roy and Eddie had a waistband challenge, a rap battle, if you would prefer that parlance, which was ridiculous and a wonderful thing to do before a very serious main event in a very long tournament where guys have been resting a lot. It's nice to have a bit of comic relief, and it was great comic relief, and I enjoyed it. Who else was on fire? Do you know what? It sounds like a cop-out answer, but I think everybody, whether they were in one match or in the case of Mark Andrews, five matches, they just pulled out all the stops. Everybody just worked their backsides off. And a special mention to, we don't use many imports. And one of the reasons for this is we're super proud of our British talent that we have, and European talent, including, you know, guys like Tommy End and Big Daddy Volta, and who wasn't on this show, but Michael Dante and so on. And, you know, these are guys that we really love and we love working with because we can work long term with them. What's interesting when we do a tournament like this, and it's a big showcase show, is we do need to bring in guys from overseas. And it just, you know, just to spice things up, make things a bit more interesting, and obviously it helps with interest with us globally as a company. The three American lads that came over to do the show, Chris Hero, Sammy Callahan, and Matt Cross, are three of the most splendid human beings I've ever met. Like, no ego, just slotted straight into that locker room and were just British guys for the 2 days. A joy to have around, and they helped everything. And you could tell, you know, when you've got people who are really experienced, like Chris Hero, the most experienced guy on the show, you know, been wrestling for 16 years or something like that. You know, when he's on a show and he's talking to guys like Damon Moser and Pastor William Eva and Chuck Mambo, and you know, being really positive with them, and they're, you know, still newbies to this, I think that's just a really good thing to see. But everybody came through. It was stressful as anything. If you could have seen when the ring truck arrived, and we needed to get the ring in quickly. We've got a ring crew of four of our trainees who are, you know, contracted to be our ring crew. And we've got other trainees who do security and stuff like that. They all helped. But then all the wrestlers helped. So everyone was out there helping out. Because it's a team effort. And that, I think, is the big thing to take away from Super Strong Style as an experience. It was just, it was great seeing that. So everybody was on fire! Thanks, Cody. Next, David Hackney. Who designed the Wonderful Progress logo, and what other designs were considered? If I remember correctly, our regular, the Eagle logo, the one you see in the centre of the Progress canvas, was designed by my business partner and main workhorse of the company, John Briley. He kind of drew it on a napkin and then gave it a mate to draw properly. That's how I think it went. I can't remember exactly the name of the person who drew the original Eagle logo. All of our design, all of our graphics, our merchandise, pretty much everything for, I want to say, at least the last 2 years, is done by a man who I gave a shout out to in the ring on Monday, whose birthday was on Sunday, Rob Dobrovolsky, who is a friend of mine. He is the fiancé of the lady who did most of my tattoos. He lives in Norwich, comes down for the shows, and he's a very busy man. He's got a normal job, and he fits in all of our design stuff around his normal job and being a dad to two children. He's super enthusiastic, and we're very grateful to have him on board. So he does all our design stuff now, but the actual original Eagle logo that we incorporate into most things, I believe, was a doodle that John did that he then passed to someone else who drew up and made into the thing that's becoming, I suppose, it's becoming quite iconic now, isn't it? Which is quite pleasant. So yeah, that's that. Mitch 1889 has said, at what point during Chris Hero versus Tommy End did you think, guys, I know I asked for strong style, but chill out, dudes. Watch my reaction during matches, like I think all three Chris Hero matches, there was a lot of me going, for fuck's sake, this is nuts, but in the best way, not in a critical promoter, I'm annoyed, in a, whoa, this is something really, really special. I've wanted Chris Hero to wrestle for us for a long time. It was great that the dates and availability and everything aligned and we could have him here for 2 days because he's one of my favourite wrestlers. He just is. And I love him as a person and as a wrestler. He is absolutely wonderful. I cannot wait to see him on June the 19th in Manchester. He's great. Him and Tommy, as you're probably aware, have been tag team partners, are very, very good friends. Tommy cites Chris as a huge influence on him. There was no way in a million years that match wasn't going to be unbelievable and stiff as anything. It's one of the reasons that that by the time we got to the final match between Tommy and Mark, they were so exhausted because they both had such absolutely insane quarterfinal matches, with Mark against Zach Gibson as well, which was tremendous. So I don't ever want anyone to get hurt, and I trust those guys to not hurt each other. So I never want people to calm down unless it looked like someone was going to get hurt because they were going to do something stupid. But I did watch that and was in awe of it. And, there's a few times I had to turn around because I didn't want to look anymore because it was so brutal. But absolutely wonderful. I think all of Chris Hero's matches against Mark Andrews on day one, Big Daddy Valter on day two. And let's give Valter some credit. He can go. He's a big dude, but he can really go. And then against Tommy End. They are instantly moved into three of my favourite matches in Progress history. I think they're all absolutely great. And, really, we're not just about the strong style stuff, but it really helped illustrate that in the tournament that obviously bears that name. Next question. Burak. Hey, Burak. What is the best wrestling carpool you have ever been part of? Best as in most fun, ridiculous, / random. Here's the thing, mate. I don't tend to share journeys very often. I don't. The very few times I've shared car journeys with people, I can illustrate them all now. I often take Tommy End and or Michael Dante back to the airport because it's on my way home. So I often give them a lift. What's quite interesting about spending time with Tommy in particular is he's a very wise man. Him and Dante have been friends since they were 9. And they argue like a married couple. And it's really funny. And what will normally happen is they're two dudes who look after themselves, know about nutrition and stuff like that. But after a show, I don't tend to eat on show days. And after a show, I'll drive them home. We will normally stop at London Gateway Services and go to Burger King, and we'll have, I will eat a lot of food. Those guys are wrestlers. They will eat a serious amount of food, and they'll polish it all off, and then get donuts and more cans of energy drink. And they're great to spend time with. I remember once having a conversation with Tommy where I was really worried about my relationship with my daughter. My daughter's nearly 13, and you may or may not be aware that she doesn't live with me. And I stress about stuff like that. And he sort of, I've not known him long, maybe he'd done two shows for us. And he was just sort of sitting, chatting to me and just letting me know not to stress about it or worry about it and all that. And I was like, wow, what a cool dude. First person I ever drove in a car was Colt Cabana at our first ever show. John picked him up from the airport. He was super nice. I ended up asking him if when they did the famous Ring of Honor, him and Homicide Drano moment, the drain cleaner that was poured in his throat, how they did it. And he told me, well, they kind of put water in there but didn't rinse it out well enough, so he actually drank some Drano, which is gross. I drove Samoa Joe around when we had him over and realised that me and him have got a lot in common. Both really like video games. So he was a proper joy to be around. And we also got a phone call during that journey. I don't know if me and Chris Brooker spoke about it on that mini episode we did, but we had a phone call from Chris Brooker where he said, hey, does Joe want to come and do Roddy Piper's podcast in this hotel room in London? And I'm like, yeah. So I drove Samoa Joe, one of my favourite wrestlers, to meet an absolute icon in Roddy Piper. There was a point during that journey where I was like, my life's strange. My life is very, very strange. And another time would be when I drove Dave Mastiff across with me to go. I was supporting William Regal, and he came across to Leeds with me and my wife and just sort of had a good chat with him. I think my funniest thing that's ever happened was with Dante and Tommy, was walking into London Gateway Services and seeing Nathan Cruz wearing a Christmas jumper. This would have been our show at the end of last November. Seeing Nathan Cruz in a Christmas jumper at the Starbucks there ordering a coffee. And Tommy said, you walk towards him, I'm going around the other way. And I went, okay. And I walked towards Nathan. And he saw me and smiled. Tommy walked behind him. And bear in mind, this is a motorway service station at like 9 p.m. on a Sunday. Tommy walked behind him, put him in a chokehold. And Nathan shrieked like a girl. And I think me and Tommy and Dante laughed at that for around about 3 hours. It was quite beautiful. Next. Joe Atherton. Thanks for coming down, Joe. If you don't know Joe, Joe is a lovely dude. He's in a wheelchair. And he comes to all our Manchester shows. And he came down to London for the first time at the weekend. We're super grateful for you coming along, Joe. And, you know, we appreciate all of our fans, but we know it's a lot of effort for you, so thanks, mate. And then he said, favourite chant from the weekend. Vader hates this during Mark Andrews and Matt Cross's exchange on the Monday was pretty funny. Big shout out to Will Ospreay for his sense of humour dealing with Vader's criticism. A couple of people have asked me for my take on this. I'll come back to your chant question in a minute, Joe. I love Will Ospreay and I love Ricochet. I mean, Will is a friend, and he's a friend of the Distraction Pieces Network as well, having been on Pip's podcast. And Ricochet's worked for Progress, and I really like Ricochet. They're tremendous wrestlers. What I think is interesting is Vader doesn't like it. That's fine. You know, by the same token, there's going to be people who would watch Vader against Stan Hansen and not necessarily understand why he's being punched so hard in the face that his eyeball has popped out of his eye socket. You know, not everything is for everybody. William Regal is always very, very keen to point out that wrestling is like a circus. If you just had acrobats, it wouldn't work. If you just had strongmen, it wouldn't work. You have to have a little bit of everything. You have to have clowns. You have to do everything during a show. And nothing has illustrated that more to me than the last 2 days of putting a tournament on. And I love high-flying stuff. I also really, really like strong-style wrestling. I really like watching Shibata against Ishii. That's in the same company. So in the same company that you get Ricochet, on that same show as you having Ricochet against Will Ospreay, you are going to get the other stuff. Yeah, there's sections of it, the early exchanges, there's sections of it that are arguably a little bit more choreographed than some other things that you might see. But that still takes tremendous skill to do that. And they're two of the most exciting wrestlers in the world. You absolutely cannot debate that whatsoever. And there's still, having seen the whole match, there's still tons of intensity in the match, tons of fire in that match, tons of stiffness in that match. It's great. It's a really, really good match. I'm the first person to point out, I like in-ring psychology. I don't like people, you know, I don't like matches that are just finisher, 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 finisher. I like people to tell a story. There is a story in that match. And I personally think it's wonderful. And I am delighted to see that it's kind of been, it's gone viral. And two guys who really deserve a lot of credit in Ricochet and Will are now getting a wider audience, which is brilliant for both of them, brilliant for both their careers, and brilliant for New Japan, because New Japan is a wonderful company. So I think that's all very positive. What I would say to Mr. Vader, and I had a joke about this on Monday, Vader's one of my favourite wrestlers of all time. You might not know this. I love Vader. I think Vader's great. I remember when Vader debuted in WCW in the early 90s, and it was tremendous. I think Vader is wonderful. I've never met him, but I think he's great. There's always going to be this thing with veterans in anything. I get it in comedy. So I get in comedy where I'm 38 years old. If I gig with someone who's in their 50s, let's say, and has been doing stand-up for 25 years, a lot of conversations will be along the lines of all these new kids doing this, doing that. It happens in every industry. It probably might happen with you. Wherever you work, there could be someone who's there, who's been there 20 years, who doesn't understand how things are done now. It's just the nature, everything evolves. It's the nature of the world. What I'd say with Vader is, Vader's a 400 plus pound dude who was doing moonsaults. I'm 100% certain that people will have watched him when he was doing that crazy stuff for the time in the early 90s and gone, what is he doing? He's 450 pounds. He should never go off his feet. He shouldn't go to the top rope and stuff like that. Just stuff evolves. You do have to give Will a bit of credit for actually doing a Vader bomb in a match the next night, though, which is, the dude's got a sense of humour. You got to give him that. I just hope Vader's got one. But anyway, favourite chant for the weekend. It wasn't a chant so much, Joe. And I think the fans were great during this weekend, as they always are. But it's tiring being there for a longer show on the Monday and, you know, 2 days of it and a lot of drinking and people were hangovers. So I had to work really hard to energise people. And I'm great that they listened and were energetic. There was a point, I want to say, it was definitely a Chris Hero match. I think it was Chris Hero against Tommy End, where one man really loudly shouted, "Stop it, just use your words." And that during a particularly stiff striking exchange really just made me chuckle. I really enjoyed that. Right, next question. Scrolling through. William Paul. Hey, William. As someone else who has been sober for years, nice one, mate, due to alcohol issues, just like me, what's it like in front of a boozy crowd? Now, I was talking to Matt Cross about this. Matt Cross is straight edge, as am I. I'm very proud of being straight edge. But I'm not preachy about it. There's no reason for me to be preachy about it. My day job is a stand-up comedian. That, I mean, it may as well read, you entertain drunk people. If you can drink and not be a tool, you're fine with me. If you drink and you're a tool, you're probably a tool when you're sober. So, you know, I'm performing in front of drunk people it's just something I'm used to. I think if I didn't do comedy and I was a ring announcer for Progress, and I'd never done comedy and I wasn't used to being in front of a crowd that is that drunk, because if you've never been to a Progress show, our crowd get very drunk. Not everybody. There's me and there's William and there's a fair few other people. There's another one of my fans called Daniel Ellis. I know he doesn't drink as well. I know there's a lot of people who don't drink. You know, my wife, she's 7 months pregnant. She definitely wasn't drinking. But yeah, I think it's something I'm used to be honest, mate. I'm completely fine with it. And you bless you said, I hope it's not too personal. I talk about me not drinking. I quit drinking when I was 20. I'm 38 now. I quit drinking when I was 20. I quit drugs when I was 20. I quit smoking when I was 20 because I did all of those things to massive excess. I had a lot of problems when I was a teenager. I don't now. You know, I have therapy through comedy and wrestling and writing and having a wonderful wife and a lovely daughter and a son on the way. So it's, you know, my life's pretty sweet and I've got a very good collection of friends. What I think is quite nice, there was definitely a Progress show a little while ago where, I forget when it was. I think it might have been...
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus,
Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
It might have been, it was either when the riots returned about a year ago, or it was when Will won the title. I forget. I'm sorry it all blurs into one. I'm sorry I can't be more sort of in depth and do my research, but I'm doing these questions on the fly. But someone, there was someone handed me a can of beer to do the sort of Steve Austin cheers thing in the ring. And you could hear fans going, "Don't drink it, Jim. You're not going to drink it, are you? Because you guys all know that I don't drink. I'm not going to drink it. I'm so cool with not drinking. I don't do it very often. I don't like, here's the thing, I'll let you in a secret. I don't like going to pubs or bars when I'm not working, which is one of the reasons that you'll rarely, I know a lot of the fans see maybe John and Glenn from management out in the pubs in Camden after the shows, or, you know, and can have a bit of a chinwag with them. Very rare you'll see me. Two reasons. One, I want to go home. I live 4 hours away from London. Two, I don't like being in bars too much when I'm not working. They're not a place that I enjoy. But sometimes you'll see me. Sometimes you'll see me out and about and whatever. But being in front of a boozy crowd never bothered me. It's just part of my job. And hopefully, William, it doesn't bother you being surrounded by drunk people when you're at our shows. I don't think it does. But, you know, if you choose to drink, brilliant. You choose to be sober, brilliant. Whatever you choose to do, it's all down to personal choice. Willie did also say, could you just talk about the Osprey Ricochet match for an hour and sob? I think it's been talked about enough over the last few days. Martin Bentley. Hey, Martin. Also, Martin, personal question to you. Did you have cramp during the live Q&A we were doing I think it was you, on Sunday night? I'm aware this is a podcast that has several thousand listeners now, and you're going to be listening to this going, wow, he knows us all individually. I would like to get to do that, dear listener. So did you contemplate doing the shows when we had no ring? Did you contemplate doing the shows like WCW Backstage Assault without the ring? The amount of people who went, oh, we'll just put some crash mats down. And it was funny at about 11 o'clock on Sunday. By 2:30 on Sunday, when the doors still weren't open and the ring still wasn't there, I no longer could take any jokes about it. I'm not going to lie. Phil Jones. Any possibility that Super Strong Style 16 will be expanded either to 3 days, oh good lord, or even a Super Strong Style 32? Realistically speaking, Phil, I don't think so. There's a reason. One, 2 days of wrestling is exhausting for wrestlers, promoters, and new punters. Genuinely exhausting. If you watch both this year and last year's Super Strong Style, the final match, everyone's energy is no one's fault, but everyone's energy is just starting to sap a little bit because it's been 2 days of wrestling. The other thing to consider is it costs a lot of money to put people up in hotels in London and book that many wrestlers and have the venue, because, you know, we obviously have the venue on a Sunday and a Monday. If we were to do it on 3 days, we'd have to have it on the Saturday. And the Saturdays when they have club nights and stuff like that. So it would cost us probably triple what we have to pay for it now. From a business standpoint, I don't think it'd be massively viable. Obviously, never say never to anything, but I don't think at the minute. I think it would probably also kill me. Lewis says, given that Smash versus Progress is happening, any other indie promotions you'd want to team up with? Yes. PWG or Evolve. Just going to put it out there right now. We have a nice relationship with Evolve. Glenn gets on really well with Gabe. I've never met him, but Glenn hung out with him a bit in Florida, in Texas rather, for WrestleMania. But I'm a fan of both of those promotions. I really like the both of them. PWG is an integral part of why we exist as a promotion, because me and John were such fans of them and watched them so much before we started. Smash are a lovely promotion, a wonderful promotion that we're fans of anyway. I think with PWG and Evolve, they've got the name value, which I quite like. I know we had Trent Seven on the main podcast last time out, and he was doing the Shikara stuff. I like Shikara a lot. I'd love to hang out with Mike Quackenbush and pick his brain, because I think he's super creative and got some really sort of left field ideas. And then there's lots of really cool indies springing up in the States, people like AAW and stuff like that. So there's lots of companies I'd potentially be interested in. I'm a fan of indies in Japan, like Dragon Gate and DDT too. But I think to make it a viable, and I've said this a lot, you don't want to do too many sort of co-shows. A few here and there are nice, but if you do too many, you end up looking like someone who always does, an actor who always does cameos. Do you know what I mean? You've got to make sure you worry about your own identity first before combining it with others, if that makes sense. But I love indie wrestling, so, you know, there's plenty of people that I look at and think, yeah, I love them. Shadow Moses, I presume named after the Bring Me the Horizon song. What are your top three mark-out moments as a fan outside of Progress? Let's see. Going to NXT in Blackpool last year, and Samoa Joe blow me a kiss because he saw me on the balcony. It's kind of outside of, it's because of Progress, but it is outside of Progress, and and everyone saw him do it, and it was one of the coolest things I've ever done, because he broke character for me, and I love that. CM Punk beating John Cena at Money in the Bank 2011, which is still one of my favourite moments just in WWE history, just ever. I absolutely love it. And I think the first time I ever saw Bray Wyatt's entrance in person just really affected me. It's something so different to what WWE would normally do. And I absolutely love that. I mean, they're just off the top of my head. If I had more time to think, I'd probably come up with better ones. And obviously, when I've got to meet people who are heroes. So, from meeting Chris Hero, Sami Callihan, Matt Cross, wrestling for us this weekend, you know, meeting Finn Balor, meeting Zack Sabre Jr. for the first time. These are all people I really, really look up to and respect. Meeting Samoa Joe, meeting Colt Cabana, meeting Roderick Strong, meeting Adam Cole. These are all people I really look up to. And, you know, meeting all those guys for the first time. I know it was around Progress, but it's still a big deal to me. First time I've got ushered into a room to speak to William Regal when I was supporting him at a show in Birmingham like 2-3 years ago was amazing. First time I ever met Mick Foley under similar circumstances was amazing. So, you know, there's a lot of stuff that just... I'm very grateful to a lot of the opportunities that I've been provided just in this crazy wrestling world that I live in. Right. Fixated Productions. Given the option, it puts in brackets, no Vince interference... who would you build Raw and SmackDown around for the future? I've been asked a lot about the brand split thing. I might see if I can... Maybe me and Glenn, because Glenn's such a good friend. Maybe next time I'm with him, maybe we can do a draft, our own little sort of fantasy draft between Raw and SmackDown, and see how we both pan out. That could be quite fun to do. See if we can do that. I think one will be built... I reckon one will be built around Roman Reigns and one will be built around John Cena. That's what I think will happen. What I would personally do is I'd have Raw as the entertainment show and I would have SmackDown as the wrestling show. A little bit like it was during the SmackDown 6 era, which evened up the odds between them. Raw's always going to get decent enough viewers because of the network it's on. SmackDown is always going to be lag a little bit behind, so it needs the boost. And it's going to be the more hardcore fans that watch that, not necessarily the people who are into entertainment and talking sections and stuff like that. So I would potentially have a roster on Raw, which would be Roman Reigns, John Cena, Dean Ambrose. Dean Ambrose is a great wrestler, but I think he's more for the casual fan. Let me restate that. I'm a hardcore fan and I love him, but I think he's easier for a casual fan to understand, if that makes sense. And then I'd have SmackDown with, let's say if we could have a SmackDown 6 on there, that sort of equivalent, it would be around Owens, Zayn, Styles, Cesaro, Balor, and Joe, if I could do that. But I don't know. I mean, it's going to be interesting to see where it heads. I mean, I wasn't a massive fan of the opening promo yesterday because it kind of made WWE look like they don't know what they're doing, and they will know what they're doing. And there's nothing wrong with letting the fans let them know they know what they're doing. I trust them. Whatever they do will be the right thing to do. And it's also, the brand split is the right thing to do when you think how many people they've got at the Performance Center at NXT. Those people have all got to be brought up somewhere. And now this is going to give more opportunities if there is a brand split rather than, you know, necessarily seeing the same six or seven people at the top of every show every single time. Dave, why does WWE mute Roman Reigns' booze? Now, I don't know if they necessarily do. If they do it, and they've done it with other stuff in the past, it's their prerogative. It's their company. If what they want to achieve with Roman Reigns is what they want to achieve, then we can't stop them. I can't stop somebody's business ideas. You know, with progress, if we think someone's going to get over massively as a babyface or massively as a heel, and it's not happening, then it's up to us to work hard to make it happen. I think the struggle that Roman Reigns has, and I've said this before on this podcast, that he's not really doing anything wrong. He's trying his best, and hardcore fans have decided they don't like him. Now, WWE are doing the right thing by acknowledging that and making him this whole the guy thing, so they are doing the right thing with him. But, you know, whenever I watch it on TV, I can definitely hear boos. Definitely. And when I've been to see live shows and he's come out, I've heard boos. I've also heard every single woman, this is not a sexist point, but every single woman seems to love him. Certainly the ones who've been sat near me. And every single kid cheer their lungs out at him. So it's a difficult situation because if they were muting his boos, then we wouldn't hear any of the cheers. It's because they'd have to mute everything. So it's a difficult one. I mean, it's their prerogative, mate. That's what I'd say. It's their company. If they feel that it's harmful to their television product, I don't think it is, but if they feel it is, that'll be why they do it. Dave Higgins, how's Mark Haskins doing? I hope he's okay. He suffering from severe exhaustion and dehydration. Mark's a good friend, and he is super enthusiastic, great guy to be around. And on Sunday, he was not himself. And it was only after I'd heard that he collapsed that I thought, oh yeah, he did seem a bit out. And he's got two young children. And he'd wrestled in Germany, I think, over the weekend, and he'd wrestled up in Hull, and he'd been all over the place. It's a lot of travel. He'd not had much sleep, and, you know, it's a very exerting thing being a wrestler, and he was telling me he's been having toothache, so he's been taking painkillers for his toothache, and, you know, and gargling salt water, which obviously dehydrates you. So, you know, it was unfortunately a perfect storm, which led to him not being too well. But he was backstage for a bit of the show yesterday, just wanted to come and say hello to everybody. And he was okay. And his lovely wife, Vicky, is looking after him. So obviously myself and Progress, and I'm sure you guys all send Mark our best wishes. I've told him to take a little bit of time off, have a bit of a rest, catch up on his sleep, all that sort of stuff. And hopefully we'll see him again very, very, very soon. Right, next. Wayne Outram. Always makes me think of the video game Outrun, Wayne. Thanks, mate. What did you make of the AJ heel turn last night? The plans for him must be big if he's feuding with Cena. I think that's probably the thing. I would suggest that John Cena gets a lot of flack, but I would imagine this won't be a one-show feud. I think it might end up being like the Kevin Owens one, where, you know, maybe we'll see AJ get the first win, and then Cena tie it up, and then maybe some kind of gimmick match to balance it out. And get a definitive winner. I don't hold out loads of hope of AJ being the guy coming out of this looking like the winner in inverted commas. purely because he's so associated with another two other companies in TNA mainly and New Japan, and Cena is Mr. WWE. I think it's interesting because it's a heel turn done well. It was done very well because I don't think people saw it coming. And if you think about it from a writer's perspective, you look at it and go, "Oh, it's quite obvious now." But I think it was done really well, and I think AJ as a heel character, like he was in Bullet Club in Japan, is very interesting, and gives a whole new sort of air to his character that I think is to be applauded. I thought it was great. Burak again. What's the best wrestling tournament you've ever watched as a fan? Pick any bowler. I can't choose my own company, otherwise I would. But pick any bowler. Battle of Los Angeles and PWG. I love them all. I also like their DDT tag team tournaments as well. But yeah, I mean, the idea. And don't forget WXW. I have 16 Karat. That's brilliant. New Japan obviously has whole year long tournaments, but. And let's not forget King of the Ring 1998 as well. Was it King of the Ring 1998? No, it wasn't. No, Survivor Series 1998 with the Rock's heel turn at the end. Even though some of the wrestling in it isn't great, it does feature the rise of Mick Foley and holds a special place in my heart. And that is technically a tournament. So, Gav Lloyd, are there any independent British wrestlers you haven't booked for Progress yet but would like to? He mentions Joe Hendry. We've always got our eyes on other people. We're quite lucky that everyone kind of wants to work for us. It's very rare we say to someone, "Would you like to come and work for us?" And they go, "No, absolutely not. We completely disagree with your product." We're very lucky that people want to work for us. We also have often too much talent to actually fit on our shows. So it's difficult to break new people in. I think it's, you know, it's nice that, for example, excuse me, that we've been able to bring Pete Dunne back recently. And it's nice that Trent Seven, he's still only had one match for us, but we've been able to use him. We've always got our eyes on people because it's our job. I would like to watch more British wrestling than I get a chance to do. But the unfortunate thing is most British wrestling shows are on Fridays and Saturdays and I'm doing comedy. So in terms of naming names, I think it's, I'd feel bad if I started naming names because then I'd feel bad about the people I forgot to name. But there are a lot of very, very good wrestlers in this country. And there's still a lot of them that haven't been featured by us. But there's always the opportunity there. And anything we can do to enhance British wrestling and enhance people's careers, that we will try and do. Rob Murray, what are the chances of getting Mr. Belding on to talk wrestling? Hey, if the dude's ever in Shoreditch when we're doing a main episode, we'll try and bring him in. Glenn Wakeford, other than the ring problems and the Haskins issues, what challenges are there organising a tournament compared to a normal chapter? Right. Problem number one is when you're booking it, you have to kind of work backwards, work out who you want to win it, why you want them to win it, and then you have to do all that. So it's a lot more difficult because you want everybody to get a chance to shine in some way, even if they're going out in the first round. So it involves a lot of juggling of ideas and the effects it's going to have over the next 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 shows. So that makes it more stressful. From a financial point of view, the more stressful point is we have to put people in hotels. Because normally after a show, people go home. The only people you normally have to put in a hotel is someone whose flight maybe, so for Tommy, his flight back to Amsterdam might be the next day. So you have a lot more logistics. You have to make sure that you round, it was my job on the Monday morning, was to round people up and make sure they're coming back to the show and all this sort of stuff. So, you know, it can be a lot more stressful because it's not just, and it's 2 days. One day is exhausting enough. 2 days, the actual physical toll it took on me. I'm recording this just after 4 o'clock on Tuesday. I didn't wake up today until 1:30. Like, I woke up really early, put a tweet out saying some questions, went back to sleep. I just dead. I was in a coma. I didn't get home till 2 last night as well. So it's a lot. It's just the hard work. It's just everything's just twice as hard. And it's, don't forget, it's the same for the wrestlers. It is exhausting wrestling one match. Imagine your Tommy End wrestled 4 matches, Mark Haskins wrestled 5. I know one of them is very short, but wrestled 5 matches. That's, it's crazy. You know, Like, Tommy wrestled three matches yesterday in a day against Sami Callihan, Chris Hero, and Mark Andrews. That is... I worry about the guys. There's always going to be the increased risk of people getting hurt because they're wrestling so much. So there's so much more to think about. Brian McGill. Thoughts on a possible Progress Hall of Fame? We talked about this at our live Q&A the other night. If we ever did one, first person going in is John Briley because he does all the work. Me and Glenn are charlatans compared to him. It'd be nice to have one. I think we need to be going for a bit longer yet. But if we had one, it's something I can see as perhaps doing in the future and perhaps, you know, anchoring it around the festivities around Super Strong Style 16. Because I'm going to presume we're going to do it again next year. So I think it's potentially a good idea. Not something we need to rush into doing because we're still only a company with 4 and a bit years history. Daniel Ellis, mentioned him earlier. Any plans for a tag team version of Super Strong Style 16? Not at the minute, if I'm honest. Not at the minute. Because, again, it involves booking 32 people. He also mentioned, we could do it as one-off random teams, but then I don't think it's as easy to tell stories. So at the moment, no. If you try and think of 16 tag teams... You know, bearing in mind, we can't... If we did a tournament with 16 tag teams in... Feel free to... In fact, let's do this. If you could tweet me 16 tag teams and you're only allowed to use 2 imports because that will be technically 4 wrestlers, which would be more than we normally use. So Europe doesn't count as an import because flights from Europe aren't too bad, but 2 American or Japanese tag teams. And be realistic because... What you've got to bear in mind is depending on how famous someone is, the more money they cost. So if you were us, and you had to pick 16 tag teams, only 2 of them could be imports, who would you pick? And bear in mind, Sumerian Death Squad can't team together for us anymore as part of one of their stipulations. So, it technically, because of the prize of winning Super Strong Style 16 is being number one contender, that would also mean... That, well, not number one contender, but a title shot. That would also mean that the Riots couldn't, London Riots couldn't be in it because they're already champions. There's no reason for them to be in it. So there's no London Riots. You can't use the Sumerian Death Squad. You could use Tommy End or Michael Dante, but not together. And you can only use 2 teams in total from America or Japan. It's hard, isn't it? You know, and you can't just put people in there for the sake of it. It's got to be good because it's us. Do you know what I mean? We try and be the best. So who'd you put in? It's tricky, isn't it? Have a think. If you genuinely think of it, then you know, just send me a tweet. If it's too long to put in a tweet, then just drop me an email or send me a Facebook message. I'm more than happy to do that. Joe Nicholas asks about the brand split. Do I agree with the brand split? Or do I have any major worries? I think I kind of covered that before, but no, not really. Francis Reth. Is Cena still the franchise player of the WWE? Yeah, he is, isn't he? He sells more merch than anybody else. He is still he does everything. It's all the outside stuff that he does. He is at the minute. He's not going to be forever. Eventually, he's going to be someone who is used to really put over people and elevate them to his status. And he's already doing it a little bit, but eventually he will do that. He will make the next legend. That will be his role. So at the minute, he is, I think. Same person, Francis. Who do you think will be the dark horse in the Cruiserweight Classic? I genuinely think Jack Gallagher, and I'm a little bit biased because he's been on this, but I think out of all the British people going into it, everyone knows that Zack Sabre Jr. is wonderful. He is one of the best wrestlers on this planet. He is tremendous. But when we were doing our qualifying matches, I think a lot of people thought that Zack Sabre Jr. would qualify. And I think people were split on whether it would be Pete Dunne or Jack Gallagher who went through. And I think having watched him twice over the course of the weekend... He's wonderful. He's a wonderful person to be around. Gets his head down, gets on with his work, and you know, could really be a dark horse. Could really set things on fire over there. Hope he does. And you know, best of luck to Zack Sabre Jr. as well, because I think he's got all the ability in the world, and there's every chance he could go all the way. And I think we've reached the end of the questions. Listen, thanks for asking all the questions. Next week, I'm going to hopefully have a chat with a couple of people around the world of wrestling and put out another couple of Tuesday Night Jaw Meets episodes over the next couple of weeks before we get to the next main episode, which will be on June the 21st, right after Money in the Bank, and also after the Progress Show in Manchester. I'm going to do some plugs now. First of all, of course, we're part of the Distraction Pieces Network, so do please check out the other podcast, Scroobius Pip's Distraction Pieces podcast, which gives the network its name, is wonderful. If you only bothered about your wrestling, then Will Ospreay's been on there recently. I've been on it, talking about various things. Chris Jericho's been on it. Pip is a huge wrestling fan. But all of his guests are interesting. The one he did with Kathy Birkin recently was absolutely wonderful. And I know he's announced guest number 100 today on his Twitter feed. Do support that. Do support the other podcasts on the network as well. I've got to plug a couple of things for me, if you don't mind. I'm terribly sorry. First of all, Progress shows, okay? June the 19th in Manchester, Chris Hero will be on that show. I can't tell you who he's facing yet, but Chris Hero will be on that show. He's just had three of the best matches in the United Kingdom this year over the space of a weekend. He's going to have another one. Come to that show. ProgressWrestling.com/tickets. Chapter 31, All Hail the New Puritans, in Manchester, Sunday afternoon, June the 19th at the Ritz. Do please come. I promise you it will be brilliant. Come to that show. Seriously. Okay, that's point one. ProgressWrestling.com/tickets. Our biggest show ever is on September the 25th at the Brixton Academy. We're well over 2/3 sold already. We'd love to sell it out. So if you've already got a ticket, thanks. If you're on the fence, get a ticket. Trust us. Please get a ticket. We're going to make this great. It's the biggest show we've ever done. It's the biggest independent wrestling show in London, certainly, for the last decade. It's going to be great. Please come along to that. ProgressWrestling.com. You'll see there's a link on the front page to get tickets for Brixton, because it's not handled by us. It's handled by Ticketweb and our friends at Live Nation. But do come along to that. If you've already got a ticket, tell some more people to get a ticket. Because if we fill that place and we make the atmosphere like it's been over this past weekend for Super Strong Style 16, we are going to do something really, really special. It's going to make the whole world take notice of British wrestling. Okay? So if you can help spread the word about that, brilliant. Comedy-wise, Sunday, June the 27th, which is after the next London show for Progress, the day after, I'm recording my Edinburgh show. I'm filming it. My Edinburgh show last year was called My Girls. It got nominated for an award. I'm really proud of it. It's a show about me and my wife and my daughter. It's not just a load of stories about, oh, I've got a wife and a kid. No, there's a lot more to it than that. I don't want to spoil it. I'd love it if you could come along to it. It's a club called The Backyard in Bethnal Green. It's quite a famous comedy club right near the tube station. It's a fiver. If you can come along to it, I'd be so grateful. If you want to come to that, jimsmallman.com/mygirlsfilm. Okay? jimsmallman.com/mygirlsfilm. It's Monday, June the 27th. If I could see some of you there, I'd be super stoked and super excited. And there's all the boring stuff. I mean, if you like this podcast, tell people. Keep sharing it. Keep telling people. Keep reviewing it on iTunes. Keep subscribing to it on iTunes. Keep letting people know about it on Acast if they're on Android and stuff like that. Please keep telling people. Please keep spreading the word. Because at the minute, we've got some great traction with this podcast. And it's thanks to you guys. So if you can keep spreading the word and telling people, I will be so unbelievably grateful. So please tell more people about it. Don't forget, if you ever want to get in touch with me, I'm at Jim Smallman on Twitter. My website is jimsmallman.com. My Facebook is facebook.com/jimsmallmancomedian. And just keep, please, spreading the word. Don't forget, if you ever tweet me and you want to talk about anything to do with wrestling, use the hashtag Tuesday Night Jaw. I'll definitely see it. I'll definitely be able to work through it. In the meantime, thanks for all your questions today. Thank you for coping with my slightly gravelly voice. Just thanks for supporting the podcast. If you came to Super Strong Style 16 this weekend, thank you for coming along to it. If you didn't, you'll be able to watch it on demand-progress probably in about a week or so, and hopefully you'll enjoy it. Send me your feedback. Let me know what you like, what you didn't like. It's always good to hear it. But in the meantime, I'm now going to go and have another lie down. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you with a mini episode next week. Ta-ra.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.